Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's my pleasure, as always, live and in person on Labor Day 2006. Welcome to the show. Labor Day began as the idea in the mind of one person who cared greatly for a very important segment of the marketplace. But just who that person was has been debated for more than 100 years. Some records indicate it was machinist and Central Labor Union official Matthew McGuire. McGuire is reputed to have first suggested a day to honor, quote, the working man, end quote. There are other references to Peter McGuire, no relation, actually spells the name differently. Peter McGuire, who was co-founder of the American Federation of Labor, who might have been the father of Labor Day. Peter McGuire is said to have first proposed the honoring of those, quote, who from rude nature have delved and carved all the grandeur we behold, end quote. Nevertheless, regardless of the paternity of the day honoring those who labor, such a day was first celebrated on Tuesday, September 5th, 1882. That's right. 1882, in New York City, by members of the CLU, who took an unpaid day off to celebrate solidarity and, of course, have picnics. The event was repeated a year later as the CLU urged labor organizations in other cities to celebrate a, quote, working man's holiday, unquote, on the first Monday in September. Well, the idea caught on and it spread quickly. New York introduced the first government bill for an official Labor Day, but Oregon beat them to the punch in terms of such a bill being signed into law. Oregon was first before New York. But by 1890, more than two dozen states had adopted an official Labor Day. But that was the state at the state levels, not the federal level. And if it hadn't been for a major labor strike and the self-interest of politicians, which are how we get most of the laws that we have, the self-interest of politicians, who knows how long it would have been before Labor Day had become a federal holiday. Here's what happened. In 1894, which was an election year, it was also the year an ugly strike was waged by employees of the Pullman Company, the makers of, you know, those railroad sleeper cars, the Pullman cars. In 1880, the founder of that company, George Pullman, built what couldn't be called anything other than a utopian town around his factory in Illinois, and it was called, you guessed it, Pullman. Hard by to Chicago, Pullman, Illinois, was a real company town. There was a company store, company housing, even a company bank, upon which Pullman employee checks were drawn. Their payroll checks were drawn on the Pullman Bank, and from which checks company store provisions and rent for company housing was deducted. Now, that's an important thing to remember. Everything operated with almost utopian efficiency until the strike in 1893, when a national depression caused orders for Pullman cars to drop to such a level that some Pullman employees had to accept pay cuts and some were actually laid off. Now, here's the tricky part, folks. This 19th century downsizing produced a can of worms, because how do you deduct company housing rent from an employee's payroll check when there isn't a payroll check? Yeah, this is one of the problems with utopia, right? Well, there was a strike because of all that, and the subsequent strike was so ugly that President Grover Cleveland declared it a federal crime. He declared the strike a federal crime and deployed 12,000 troops to break it up. Well, the strike ended on August 3rd, 1894, but not before significant property damage occurred, plus two people were killed and many were jailed. So, 1894 is an election year. This is August before the election in 1894 that all this happened. President Cleveland and Congress needed to make amends with the working class for what was seen as, and correctly so, the government's heavy-handedness. Consequently, legislation was rushed through both houses at record speed, as only Congress can do when they're operating for their own self-interests. And just 6 days after the troops broke that strike, Cleveland's signature made the first Monday in September, Labor Day, a federal holiday, including the District of Columbia and the territories. Now think about that. All that we have today in terms of Labor Day happened in 6 days. It became official in 6 days. The government passed this, and it was strictly as a result of what happened in that strike to make it a federal holiday. In 1898, Samuel Gompers, then head of the American Federation of Labor, called Labor Day, and this is a quote from him, "the day for which the toilers in past centuries looked forward, when their rights and their wrongs would be discussed, that the workers of our day may not only lay down their labor, their tools of labor for a holiday, but upon which they may touch shoulders in marching phalanx and feel the stronger for it." So that's the origin of Labor Day as an idea, and then as a state holiday, and then as a federal holiday. Now, when it became a federal holiday, before it was a federal holiday, it was an unpaid day off that they took, this Monday. When it became a federal holiday, you know what that means? That means that you and I, ladies and gentlemen, small business owners, that means that you and I have to pay. It became an extra federal holiday that you and I pay for as employers. And so when we come back, I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to try to explain. Maybe I'm going to ask first, then I'll try to explain the question, answer the question of why isn't there a national Small Business Day? Quick break, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Happy Labor Day. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance, and check out all the resources that are there that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Okay, it's Labor Day. Happy Labor Day, everybody. But here's my question to you. I just got through talking to you a little bit about the history of Labor Day, but here's my question. Why isn't there a national, there's a federal holiday for laborers, for employees. Why isn't there a federal holiday for you and me, small business owners? Why isn't there a national Small Business Day? That's my question. Entrepreneurs, the reason I think is because entrepreneurs aren't organized like our labor brethren, like the unions are. Nor are we as pushy, by the way. Probably because we're too busy making payroll for national holidays for our employees. We're too busy paying for those national holidays. Just the attitude is just for fun, folks. We don't mind. But there is no single Small Business Day officially decreed by the U.S. government. No Entrepreneur's Day set aside to honor the few who do so much for so many. A day when everyone gets off to picnic and party down in honor of the real heroes of the marketplace, small business owners. There actually is a Small Business Week. The U.S. Small Business Administration picks a week each year, usually in May, but sometimes in April, to recognize those who have been chosen at the state levels as the creme de la creme of entrepreneurs in America. Plus, like the unofficial Labor Day events in the 1880s, there are Small Business Weeks conducted by Chambers of Commerce in cities all across the country. I speak at many of them during the year. I love those. But the dates are random and the festivities are parochial. If we're ever to have a National Entrepreneurs Day, we'll have to convince the government. And that's easier said than done. Small business has many champions in Congress. But there's way too much indifference, ladies and gentlemen. Just too much indifference and too much disregard. And in some cases, incredibly, blatant disrespect and disdain by politicians for those of us who sign the front of over 70 million paychecks every Friday. Ask a politician to get excited about a small business in his or her district getting an award, and you might get a favorable response. But you might not. Trust me, I speak from years of experience. But if you want to be in one place where you know you can find members of your congressional delegation, check the district Labor Day celebrations. The only thing more guaranteed than picnics and barbecue on Labor Day is the appearance of members of the political class as they kiss baby's glad hand and generally suck up to the leaders and rank-and-file members of labor unions. So, what's wrong with this picture? Right? Today, unions represent less than 14% of all U.S. workers, a 60-year low. And actually, I think that number may, now that I think about it, I think that number may be more like about 12%. It's a 60-year low. Small businesses, on the other hand, number in the tens of millions, and our numbers are increasing by almost 1 million per year. We currently represent small business owners. We currently represent over 98% of all U.S. businesses, create over 55% of all new innovations, employ over 60% of all workers, and produce more than half of the U.S. gross domestic product. Plus, we pay for make payroll for over 70 million workers to take off on Labor Day. So let's see. Let's check this out a little bit now. This big deal on Labor Day, but no Entrepreneurs Day. Official federal Labor Day as a holiday, but no official federal Small Business Day. What's wrong with this picture? I was thinking about initiating a movement. I have been thinking about this for a while. And maybe you could help me with this. Let's initiate a movement to create a National Entrepreneurs Day. First, though, it has to be proposed and passed in Congress and then signed into law by the president. And that would require convincing 270 people, a majority in the House and the Senate, plus the president. We'd have to convince them that an Entrepreneurs Day is a good idea, which unfortunately is a tall order, but for you and me, that's no hill for a climber, right? But then, my small business genes kicked in, and as I was thinking about that, and I remembered that every national holiday is a double whammy for you and me, small business owners. A lost day of company productivity with payroll expense. Even if I could motivate politicians with something like a Pullman strike or get a national holiday, national day off to honor small businesses, it would actually be a financial burden on those who were being recognized. So what do? Well, we do it in August. We do it when no politicians are in town. We do it in August, and we do it on a Sunday when most of us are off anyway. That's right. Small Business Day, the national holiday, should be in August, and it should be on a Sunday, and that's what we should be proposing. So here's something to think about. It's just to paraphrase the 1998 words of Samuel Gompers. Small business owners deserve a day for which the signers of paychecks in past centuries look forward when their rights and their wrongs would be discussed, that the small employer of our day may not only lay down their cash flow statements for a holiday, but upon which they may touch shoulders in marching phalanx and feel the stronger for it. Happy Labor Day. Happy Small Business Day. folks. I'll be right back.
You've reached Pearson Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.